Welcome to MacGyveCast episode.
Season 6, episode 5. This is MacGyveCast 109 of 139. This is called The Wall.
And this one is about something completely unrelated to the Berlin Wall, correct?
The wall plays a role.
Good episode or shitty episode?
22 October 1990. Mm-hmm. Not a good episode. It's a MacGyver episode, so it's never going to be good.
It really is terrible. I was thinking about this day. I'm like, the only part of the show I like now again is going back and seeing how the world looked, especially the Pacific Northwest in 1990 and 89. It's like it takes me back to being a little boy, but then it reminds me of the fact that I'm aging into nothing and I'm going to die soon, and it's kind of depressing.
Just wait a sec, Gia. Something's really gone weird with your... Can you talk for a sec?
Yep. Hello. I see me fine.
You're really quiet.
I'm at normal volume here. Nothing's changed here.
Now I can't hear you at all.
How very weird. Nothing's going on my internet. Lexi was a dildo. Now I hear you differently.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Weird. Something changed on your end.
But you completely disappeared. I was hearing you through a different speaker. I had to unplug and replug something.
Strange.
And now you're back almost at a normal volume.
Yeah, now I hear some background fuzz on your end.
Well, I'm still using the Rode. Let me look. That's still using the Rode.
I think I just hear the street noise now.
Well, that would normally be there.
Maybe a little computer fan noise going too? Is there another mic on in addition to the Rode?
Well, I'm just looking to see what Skype is using. Oh, where the fuck do they hide this shit now?
Now
it's using the Rode.
No, I don't hear it anymore.
Well, it's still using, it's been using the same microphone.
Yeah, we maybe just got closer on it or something. I just don't hear any background. Nope. Well, I can send you a clip. It sounded, there's some fuzziness, but yeah, it sounded fine. All right, yeah, so back to this stupid show.
Okay. I'll just start with a summary then. With the help of MacGyver, an elderly German man is reunited with his long-lost granddaughter. However, she is now an agent involved in a plot to steal her grandfather's gold.
Well, that's fairly accurate-ish. It doesn't spoil anything.
Well, except it's not her grandfather's gold.
Yeah, that part. And then also who she really is.
Yes. So as I'll start this with, what once brought joy now only brings pain. Welcome to MacGyver.
Yeah, the intro is on a model battlefield. So if
lead toy soldiers on a battlefield. They are being dusted by an old German with a paintbrush. His name is Otto. Mm-hmm. MacGyver is on the phone. He's at Stasi headquarters and is going through records trying to find Otto's daughter in East Germany.
Yeah, somehow he's deep in the mix of the collapse of the Berlin Wall. He's in a like bombed out building with like spray paint. It was like graffiti at least. It looks really horrific. And he's wearing a white colored shirt.
Yes. And then we cut to next door in a sniper's perch where someone is listening to them talking and then playing
next door
with
Otto.
A toy crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But it's a toy crossbow.
Yeah.
Like something a G.I. Joe character would have, just a pistol grip, little pistol crossbow, which is stupid.
And then we cut to black and white, flashback.
Oh, no, yes, the doll that the old German picks up causes a flashback to black and white, to Otto escaping from the East, leaving his daughter and an unknown man behind to die.
Mm-hmm. Shot in the belly.
Yes, we cut to a beer hall where MacGyver is drinking water.
Yeah.
Yes, he's meeting with someone who is surely a bad guy pretending to be a good guy.
And that black and white shot was Magneto a la X-Men 1.
Okay. Max says his German is a little weak, so hands the papers back. And it turns out that she was a ward of the state and is now a teacher in Leipzig. They can be there tomorrow.
That's all accurate. MacGyver drinking the beer is nice. Drinking the water is a nice touch.
Yes. We cut to Mac wearing his best Paula Poundstone suit while he creeps up on the granddaughter, who's in blindfolded amongst a large number of young girls.
Yeah, playing some sort of tag game.
Yes. She wants to know why he is here instead of the grandfather.
And why his sleeves are so long.
Yes. And she has a message. To me, he is dead.
It's also Richard D. Anderson. How about don't keep your hands in your really super loose pockets while you're on a girl's schoolyard?
Yes. And it turns out they're being spied upon from a distance.
I think this guy's jacking off in the schoolyard.
So MacGyver says there is nothing to stop them from being a family again. She says there's nothing to stop them from being family again, just his selfishness at leaving his son dead and his granddaughter for dead.
Yeah, it's being a coward.
Yeah, MacGyver leaves her a letter. It has his, quote, hotel number on it, written on it on the envelope, just in case she changes her mind.
Room 69, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Mac now sees he's being spied on and ends up assaulting the person.
Yeah.
And then to ask why before the fight, before they fight. Mac gets slammed into the garbage cans and the spy runs away.
It's really ineffective.
But not before dropping his spy listening gear.
Yeah, it's, MacGyver goes from being like super observant and like, wow, you are a top spy, to just the most ineffective piece of shit possible.
Yeah, he gets hammered a good couple times in this episode.
They must have been mad at him. A bad technique judo throw.
Yes. We cut to Mac getting ready to leave the next day, where his government friend is trying to get him to leave. And then the granddaughter shows up, conveniently, just in downtown's in Vancouver's Chinatown.
Right before he's about to go.
Yes. And, you know, it's there in Chinatown.
Exactly. And then it cuts to her and MacGyver now at the airport arriving in America.
Well, she says she has the freedom to do what she wants. Fuck her job in life. Of course. Mac has taken care of all her papers already, which I call bullshit.
Magically, he's wearing the same clothes he was wearing this morning in Berlin, and now they're in America on the other. It's like, what? This is like, what, 10 hours later, and she's there already? How did you get a plane ticket? I know it's 1990. And then she drinks an American root beer.
Well, no, this is where we find out that the government guy is in league with the evil spy.
Of course.
And they say in a few days, the gold will be in their hands.
But her drinking the root beer out of that shitty soda machine, very Canadian. It's like, that you're not American, bitch.
That's a vintage. That would have been an old pop machine at the time. But we cut to the Vancouver Museum standing in for the airport very badly. Because when they shoot across to the parking lot, you can see that there are trees like 200 feet away. And so Mac is impressed with her perfect English. She is stunned by a pop machine. And here's where I realize she knows what quarters are.
You reversed the scene because you were talking about the scene where the guy's walking on the crossbow guy and it's revealed he's a bad guy, right? That's where they arrive at the toy store.
No, in Germany. As soon as they leave in Germany, he crosses the street and talks to him in a cafe.
Oh, yeah, that quick little moment.
Mac is impressed with her perfect English. She's stunned by a pop machine like she's seen in her magazines. Huh? She knows what quarters are, which is odd because European currency, especially the GDR Pfennig, all use 20-cent coins instead of quarters.
Huh.
Yes, which I noticed right away. She goes orgasmic over her Gennaro brand soda pop.
Mm-hmm. A root beer.
Yes. Cut to Gramps' toy store, and he has flowers, and all seems to be forgiven. Isn't that convenient?
And a stuffed animal.
That comes in a bit, I think.
Yeah, well, it cuts away to the guys in the
street. Well, because, Mac decides he has to fuck off till 4 p.m. when they have to go see immigration.
Yeah.
Crossbow is called out as... What the hell have I written? Crossbow is called out as a toy.
By the other guys when they walk in.
The crossbow is called out as a toy when the two evil Germans come in into the sniper's perch.
Because he points it at them and they're like, yeah, and they walk right past
them. Don't point that toy at me. Huh. Gramps returns her old doll. She doesn't seem to remember it until it's pointed out who it is.
And also, it's like, wow, he's kept it right on the shelf behind the register. What if somebody saw it and stole it or wanted to buy it and you weren't there and somebody's filling in one day? And then you just sold your granddaughter's beloved doll, the only memory she has of the Holocaust? I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to be.
Them escaping the East.
Oh, that's right, because they were illegally immigrating.
Yes. There is infighting amongst the spies. Tall spy really has a hard-on to torture the old guy because he has $1 million in gold, which is not very much.
1990, it's still something. I mean, it's not 1.5 billion. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Mac thinks that something just isn't right. He's talking to Pete about the German lady.
The Phoenix Foundation with the water tower, same building.
Phoenix Foundation for Research. Mm-hmm. Yes. She knew too much on the plane. She plugged her seatbelt in right away. Yeah, because a seatbelt, that's hard to understand. And reclined the seat. Kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You recline your seat, you die. And plugged in, I think he said headphones, but this would be the sound tube era.
How does a dirty, poor Berlin lady know what headphones are? She must be a spy.
She behaved like a seasoned traveler. And then, Matt caught on her asking for quarters things. Although he doesn't mention that they don't use 25-cent coins, they wouldn't call it a quarter. And Mac is stupid still. We cut to tech nerd, Lone Gunman Byers, who is their CSI tech.
Mm-hmm.
He says this piece of technology is KGB, likely East German made. Yeah, figure. He only got it in former East Germany. Mm-hmm. He can also see fingerprints on it, apparently by the naked eye, which is quite astounding.
Yep.
Mac wants them to run a picture of younger Maria through the child finder to age her up to age 23.
That's not Maria.
Yes. Gramps now says he wants to close the store for a few months so they can travel. It will be expensive, but he has money put away.
How many gold bricks for a first-class plane ticket?
Yes. For an old man, and on this, because they're under surveillance, so now the surveillance clicks in and they start listening upstairs. But they don't give this old man nearly enough time to walk up five stairs, let alone a full flight and into his apartment. tall spy is getting impatient, and then Mac shows up in the shitty truck.
Yep. God, I hate that thing.
Mac lets out with a creepy, "She certainly is a woman now." Imagine that, like Troy McClure.
Yeah, because she has her hair down and she shows up with earrings on.
She then comes out all sexed up and her hair down.
And this is like the height of, like, we're not sexist, or we're really enlightened guys, man. We're like changing the world with this social justice warrior shit. And it's like, no, you're the most sexist piece of shit possible.
And she lets out with a, "This is America. Everyone brings food in to eat." Which makes Mac have to look off to the camera and act in his mind.
Wah, wah.
Yes. Traveler's checks are mentioned, and no one would know what those are now.
Mm-hmm.
Tall, angry spy decides to stay behind, which of course means he's going to break in and torture Grandpa.
Yep, old guy's going to get it.
Later that night, the shitty truck returns. And shit, they got Hawaiian pizza with pineapple.
That's delicious.
Yes. Gramps is being tortured. He's told to give up the gold or die. And Matt comes in carrying the pizza like a dick at a 45-degree angle.
It is a dick. It's a dick way of holding a pizza. It's like all the shit's going to slide. Unless you've had that in the car for a really long time because you guys just fucked in an alley. That cheese is all warm. You just ruined it.
And it's all in the lid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've just got a U of pizza down on that right side of the box.
Yeah, then when everybody's getting their slices out, that's like that thing, weird thing where they put their fingers on it and pull it back. They all get to look at you and go, great. Thanks.
Yeah, so Mac charges the tall gunman somehow manages to lift up a table and use that as a bullet shield in front of him, and then gets a chair slammed into his back.
Yeah, there's two heart-level bullets shot through the table, but somehow it just stops him.
Yes, tall guy assaults the granddaughter right beside the stairs. She hits him and throws him down the stairs. He's taken away on a stretcher instead of a body bag.
Lucky.
Yes, they have an ID thanks to his fingerprints. He was Stasi.
And Detective Priest shows up again.
Yes. Yes.
Father Dowling Mysteries.
Yes. He played a cop on Beachcombers.
And I think he showed up in 20 Questions as well.
Okay.
The last episode with Blossom.
Yes. Let's see. Gramps says they used Maria as a threat to make him to cooperate. His store acted as a courier drop for all kinds of spy shit. Mac notices there's a laser on the wall, but since this is before laser scopes has been invented, he doesn't freak out and yell at everyone to get down.
Interesting. So there wasn't laser scopes yet?
Oh, no. This was just a laser microphone.
When did laser scopes come into play?
The first one I ever remember seeing was in Cobra.
1986. I was just going to say Cobra, Cobretti. That's 86,
but
buddy.
It wasn't super common. That was really almost unheard of then.
Okay. But they did exist technically, just they weren't used in media.
Yes.
Okay.
Turns out that's just for the laser microphone that they're using to bounce off the window to record.
Mm-hmm. Still pretty sophisticated at the time.
Yes. Let's see. Mac goes down to his truck and gets a flare out of a shitty truck, which he lights up, and then the smoke makes the laser visible. The Germans run away and drive off, leaving all their shit there. The lone gunman then explains what a laser mic is, explaining that it's just like a CD player, which it actually kind of is.
Yes, I've never thought of it that way, because of the glass pane.
Yes. Tall German, it's revealed, also had his larynx crushed, which only means that Maria must have done it to him. So Mac goes to the store to confront her. She slips and says what Tall Spy's name was.
Why is that detective ever like, you guys are with the Phoenix Foundation, right? Don't you guys supersede us? Is like,
no, he's just a cop.
I know, but why doesn't he ask them? He's like, why do you always keep coming to me? I'm a local beat cop. He's like, you guys know a lot of weird shit, too,
by the
way.
He's a detective. That's not a beat cop.
Well, I'm okay. Okay, in theory, they're connected to, like, the CIA, and, like, they do shit above the FBI and international government stuff. Like, it's this weird thing of, like, oh, yeah, let's go down to our local precinct and find out what Mustache thinks about my friend Blossom being a cunt.
Yes. Turns out she was turned into a spy, and I'm guessing probably a whore, and walked all over Europe as a Stasi agent.
The whore part goes hand in hand.
Yes, so touching moment is brought to a stop as the Stasi breaks in. Byers had to, quote, so this is back at the Phoenix Foundation, the lone gunman and Pete. Byers had to disassemble the quote, the image unit to find out the problem. What?
The child finder picture is really creepy.
Yes, and it turns out it isn't the same girl.
It's like, yeah, I do have this child finder machine. What's it for? Kidnap girls, maybe?
Yeah, it's because usually what I do is the reverse. I take a picture of a 23-year-old and turn them into a really hot 12-year-old.
Gross.
It's like kiddie porn, except it's not because it's computer-generated and doesn't count.
I think it still counts.
Depends on your jurisdiction.
How fucked up is that?
Well, it isn't child porn in Canada, at least I believe from the last interpretation I read. It would be child porn in the United States.
Yeah, I'm for that. I mean, I don't know. It's really creepy. I'm not for people having it. I'm for it being illegal.
Yes. We cut to Mac being tied to a chair in the toy store upstairs, of course, and Maria tied to a wall downstairs, and Gramps tied to a chair being interrogated.
And with a real crossbow bolt aimed at her skull, a rather
because
cool shot.
You really want to have your prisoner somewhere out of sight so he can facilitate his escape.
MacGyver uses his teeth to open up a thing of slime goo, and it pours some sort of weird children's slime all over the ropes, which he uses.
Yeah, it's like generic goop.
Yeah, it's not the stuff they threw against the wall like the sticky climbers. It's the other stuff they made that you could buy like slime.
Yes, but this is the red stuff. So downstairs, it's crossbow time, and Maria will be the target.
William Mac Tell
opens
style.
The goop with his mouth and then lets it fall into his hands like a good anal lubricant.
Huh? I've done this before.
Yeah, more shots are taken at Maria. And then dumb shits. Crossbows don't have bolts, not arrows. get it right.
Oh, this is really bad. Everything on this show, just it's like, is this Canada's fault? Who prop department weren't used to doing this kind of stuff?
It seems like at this point, MacGyver is just really cheap.
Yeah, I guess.
They've run out of money. They're just going for cheap.
Yeah.
So he still thinks that Maria is not his granddaughter until something twigs, and he says he will tell. The gold is hidden in the toy soldiers in the store windows, which is a dumbass move. They're small little things that little hands will steal as they walk out of a store.
Exactly. Like he's like, I've lost $500,000 in the last 15 years.
Yes. Mac has lubed his way out of the rope. He punches out crossbow with a hand puppet. Don't fucking ask. just by hiding around the corner of a shelf that he could see through.
And his hand's fine. So he needs to keep that hand puppet. And every time he's trapped in a situation where he has to do his flying punch, just put that thing on. Boom, perfect hand.
Yes, they aren't even fucking trying at this point.
Yeah.
So Mac uses a remote control blimp as a distraction.
From 4 feet away from the guy.
While that's coming at the guy, he slowly freaks out and then eventually shoots at it while Mac climbs up the shelf, which, of course, is not a rickety toy store shelf. It's anchored into the floor and ceiling and is earthquake-proof.
Yeah, it's made out of metal.
And then drops a drum on him just as Pete bursts in, and that incapacitates him.
The most lazy staging of any action beats in the show's history.
Yes. Pete says that Maria is a fraud. He uses the picture of what the real Maria would look like and says, you can't outsmart computer imaging. Yeah. But it turns out she had an accident in London, her jaw broke in 3 places, and there's medical records that can prove it.
I still don't believe her.
Yes, he manages to convince him that she is Maria. No one could have known their, quote, secret about the dog, quote, sleeping in her bed. So, okay, message received. Stop talking about creepy grandpa.
And then this closes with MacGyver playing what looks to be NES hockey. Yes, it is. It's an NES pad that they've painted black for some reason.
Let's see. Sega Master Systems were black.
Maybe. It doesn't look like Sega graphics, though. It's got a square pad. It's got a square pad.
Meanwhile, at the Phoenix Foundation Center for Research, Mac is playing computer hockey or some stupid shit on some stupid gaming system.
It's either a Master System or a Nintendo. But yeah, it's pretty neat. It's the best graphics we've ever seen on the show.
Yes. It turns out the gold is being used for a reunification fund.
I dare you say it's stupid.
And as a start, Maria wants to get started on fucking MacGyver. Pete thinks it might be good to set her up as the new Poochie. They don't. And then the credits roll.
Remember that chick we had on the show 2 seasons ago or 3 seasons ago who died? Yeah, how about she plays her? Nope. And then it's just like, MacGyver, I've heard about your American STDs.
Yes. So in a recent Mythbusters, they basically debunked a MacGyver myth of, what was it, episode... season 3...
It was a Poochie episode because they cut short face.
Season 3, episode 10, Blowout, from 21 December 1981. It was a Poochie episode.
1989, I mean, or 88. You said 81.
87. Sorry, 87.
Well, shit, that was a while ago.
It was an Elissa Davalos episode, so she's playing Nikki Carpenter.
Her daughter's looking old as shit on Man the High Castle, by the way.
And what is very strange is that Bruce Harwood from Lone Gunman, Byers, was in that episode as a bomber and is in this episode as an FBI tech.
That's him. Oh, fuck. I didn't put that two and two together. That was him.
Yes. So he was the one that I think he worked at the post office. He was the one who looked normal.
Yeah, and this one, he's the child imager guy.
Yes. So that was the episode where there's a mail truck full of dynamite. Mac doesn't have time to get it away, so he fills the truck full of dynamite, and it goes and it fizzles, basically.
Uh-huh.
And that was completely disproven in Mythbusters, where it's 16, slightly
Season 16, episode 1, they cover it. And they have that that fake nostalgia for MacGyver that I think we had before we started this, maybe a little bit. We didn't think it was fake. We thought it was real. But it's nostalgia for the idea of MacGyver or the Simpsons making fun of MacGyver or MacGruber. It's not actually for MacGyver. If you go back and watch these, you can never be as excited as they are in the episodes or like in the breakdowns. This Mythbusters had the most MacGyver clips. Usually when they reference MacGyver, it was hard for them to get source footage. I think one time they did, another time they didn't get very much or they got nothing. This time they actually have what they're trying to show you.
Yes, and it turns out that the Mythbusters fucked it up.
Yeah, the first time they do it, it looks like it's proving MacGyver to be right. And it's like, oh shit, they finally got something right. This really works. I don't know why bomb squads aren't using this. And then, of course... it disconnected some of it, which just then...
Yeah, so only 2 sticks instead of 44 sticks of dynamite went off.
Which then conveniently led to a thing where they could cut... or this was before that, where they had some of the stuff got moved, the concrete moved the dynamite, and they had to cut a panel out of the mail truck, and then Adam Savage got to be doing his Adam Savage vanity project, where he climbs in. I think, was he shirtless? He was half
no,
naked.
No, he just took his shoes off.
Yeah, well, he's wearing no shoes, and he was climbing in there trying to show
to shimmy through a very small
how nimble he is. And did he have a titty liposuction, by the way?
I don't know. And what is strange is that there's so much cement in it that it's almost making the mail truck explode.
Yeah.
And it's almost wheeling because of all the weight. It's completely crushed the rear suspension and it's grounded out totally.
Yeah,
it's
not an armored truck, you know, it's a mail truck, so it's not meant to hold that much weight from all the concrete trying to expand the doors, which can barely contain it. And then they have to do it again, and they prove that it does reduce it somewhat. It didn't dismember all the people around or the cardboard cutouts, and it did direct the blast up and down.
Hey man, those were made out of plywood.
It did direct the blast up and down as opposed to outward.
Yes, it slightly moderated the explosion. So instead of dying of being completely ripped apart, they just died of the compression wave.
Yeah, and the shrapnel. But the blast wave was 250 feet versus over 750 for the first time. They couldn't tell because all the discs ruptured, so they lost their data. So instead of really going back and doing it 4 times, they did it 3 times and kind of cheated.
Yes, so this just proves that 1, MacGyver is full of shit, 2, no one should watch MacGyver, and 3, no one should watch Mythbusters, because it's really not very good.
Agreed, and now we never have to do a Mythbusters special on their MacGyver obsession. Basically, every time they've done it has been almost the same result.
Yes, saying, oh, fuck that.
And it's so funny, like they were showing the behind-the-scenes special for Mythbusters Season 16, and they go, what are we going to do this time? Well, I think duct tape is one of our main things. Okay, well, that duct tape stuff comes from MacGyver, but again, that comes from the myth of MacGyver as opposed to the actual show itself.
Yes. I didn't watch that episode because I don't care about the show.
They showed the 3 castaways, which they don't show a lot, so you got to see a lot of footage of them. And it's like, oh, they don't pretend they don't exist, at least.
You mean Tory Grant and...
Kari Byron. And okay. Other dude. What's his name?
Tori and Grant.
Oh, Grant Imahara, Tori something, Bileche, and Kari Byron.
Yes. And the casual way they just fired them and made no comment about it really seems shitty.
And then
which is why I stopped watching the show.
They don't seem to be working behind the scenes either. So it's like, did they even offer them old jobs back? Or just like, oh, you're gone? And of course, Discovery was like, we can't wait to work with Kari, Grant, and Tori again. We have some projects in the pipeline. What was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
2.5? Yeah, because it was about 2 years ago. Because I remember seeing that they just did that last, I think season 14 or 15, they were still on it. Season 14.
And I forget what the other two have done, but Grant Imahara was on... God, what
BattleBots.
Was he making? No, he was shilling for, like, GMO-made food by Monsanto, I think.
On
a big advertising campaign, which just made me think, yeah, okay, you're full of shit. Fuck off and die. Okay, so that's it. MacGyver. One more done. Only 30... We're 109 of 149?
Let's just stop.
139? 139. Two-thirds of the way through.
God, it's really... It doesn't. There's no reward.
Yes, only... three quarters of a season left, and then a shitty California-based half season. And then the Black Door pilot.
Ugh. And then we have
and the movies.
MacGruber episode.
And MacGruber.
Ugh. All right, bye, everybody. Bye,
bye, bye. Bye.
What a terrible fucking show.
Don't you wish now we could pull X-Files files and start skipping shows?